Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to iHeartMedia's Bay Area Focus, highlighting events and great causes here in the Bay Area.
One love, this is Larry Dorsey Jr. with iHeartRadio, and the name is the same as the social media handle. And we have Akeem Brown, the program director at the Hidden Genius Project. How's it going, brother?
All is well. Let me offer a quick correction. It's programs director. That's cool, though, right? And that just means I'm looking over all the programs that we have to serve up for the community.
There's multiple programs.
Indeed, indeed.
Thank you for the correction. And can you tell me a little bit more about these programs? Well, actually, tell me about yourself first. Who are you and how did you get involved in this work?
I got involved with the Hidden Genius Project around April 2015. The founding and executive director and I, Brandon, served on another youth development board together, and he just kind of understood my hustle, my game around entrepreneurship and technology, and thought it'd be a great fit. So as I was wrapping up my program in public policy and religion, he's like, when you're done, come holler at me. Like, man, I don't want to do no tech or no entrepreneurship. I've been there, done that. I'm going to politics. And he was like, well, before you go to Sacramento, come sit with me for a week or two. So I went and sat with him and was just inspired by the work that the organization intended to do and some of the young men that they were actually working with at that time. And I ended up staying locally in Oakland instead of going to Sacramento because I realized I probably didn't have the energy to elbow politicians, to twist their arms, to pass legislation. In fact, my impact could be greater felt right here on the ground with the youth in the streets.
Wait, so why did you want to get into politics? And
the same reason, to have an impact on the lives of people in my community. But I realized, you know, that comes at a cost, and sometimes you don't get exactly the outcome you seek. Well, in this case, we input to these young men, which we call geniuses, and we can have an impact that day. I can see him smile that day. I can see me giving him words of encouragement or advice, him acting on it, and actually getting results that day. Where politics, you got to vote, you got to fight, there's divisions, there's so many things that politics prevents from things happening in the community. And so I just was like, you know what, forget that. I'm going to work directly with the source, right, which is the youth in the streets.
Dialectical materialism.
I guess you could call it that. You just threw a big word out on me. You're going to have to give me the quick Webster's version or the Larry version on that one.
it was pretty much, in a nutshell, what you were just talking about. So could you tell me about this intensive immersion program and its impact? And what are your students learning and how does this program operate?
Right. So our flagship offering at the Hidden Genius Project is our 15-month intensive immersion program. And, you know, it's really derived from our mission, which is to train and mentor Black male youth in technology creation, entrepreneurship, and leadership skills with the hope of transforming their lives and communities. But what that really means is we're just looking to develop the next wave of Black male leadership that can stay in their communities, thrive in their communities, and ultimately build the solutions to the persistent problems in their communities. And so through the 15-month intensive immersion, we're able to have that time to develop these young men, change their mindsets on how to look at society, and then how to view themselves in this society as Black males in this white supremacist era of America, right? How to navigate schools when we know schools weren't built to support certain demographics. You know, how to navigate the financial systems when we know the financial systems were built to put certain demographics on the margin, and so on and so forth. And so for our philosophy is, let's create these entrepreneurs. Let's give them the vocabulary. Let's give them the confidence that they'll need to navigate in these spaces that are not meant for them, and then have them create their own. So when they create their own, they can go back and draw their brothers and sisters from the community and have that power for themselves in their space. And so that's what we're able to do with the 15-month intensive immersion. We've got a bunch of founders who've created their own for-profit or nonprofit businesses from the intensive immersion, and we're just really happy. There's a long commitment. We're asking young men to be prepared to commit 15 months of their life. But at 15, 15 months is, 16 and a half when you're done. But when you walk away, you've got this knowledge base that'll ask you, that'll basically provide a foundation for the rest of your life, So it's just a commitment, two summers, and the school year in between.
It sounds that your organization and the students have responded appropriately to these unprecedented times, right?
Yeah, I just said this 2 days ago, just in conversation. Our young men are some of the most creative, thoughtful, and resilient beings that I've ever encountered. And I say that, tongue in cheek, right? Because when you think of the word resilient, it means, the ability to overcome, like a chameleon can change its colors in an environment to protect himself. Well, the black male can also do the same thing. He can be resilient to protect himself. But why is that even a thing? Why do we have to say that they're resilient, right? Why we can't just focus on their genius because of the society we live in, that we have to acknowledge the resiliency? Because there's a thing that's forcing them to be resilient. And that's a whole nother conversation for another day, Larry. You talk to other cultures and demographics, you probably won't hear the word resilient at the top of the list, right? You probably say, oh, so happy, so comfortable and confident within themselves, right? You probably hear all of those verbs, but our young men, they come from various backgrounds on different ends of the socioeconomic scale. You might have a youngster who's born and raised in Oakland Hills and only knows private schools. And you might have a youngster who's born and raised in the flats of Oakland and only knows the public systems and its many shortfalls when it comes to raising our black male youth. But when they come to our cohort and they are together, they begin to learn from one another. And then they really realize what the difference is or some of the disparities, right? And so the guy who lives in the hills who doesn't have a sense of or cultural competency of what it's really like, to be black in the community or in the hood, as some might call it. And then you've got the brother who's always been in the hood getting to experience what it's like to not be in the hood. And what you get is a very rich and diversified experience for them. And they begin, to grow, and their bond is stronger and stronger. We use the cohort model, and they call each other brothers. But that's how we essentially build the cohorts. It's done like that on purpose because, I could go to, Bentley, which is a prep school out in Moraga, right? And I'm totally oblivious because I'm the only black dude there. So I don't have a cultural experience. But when I get with my brothers at the Hidden Genius Project, it's me. I see me. And so it works both ways, right? And we're just excited that our young men have really flourished and thrived under this pandemic conditions. They have shown up in ways that we never thought that they would. We thought that there would be some fall off, and the truth is we've had more engagement and participation virtually than we've ever had in person. And I'm like, well, how is that possible? It's working, and, it's not an easy task. I'm not saying it lightly. There are systems and supports that we put in place to make sure that we can stay in touch with families, meet some needs. We've also sent, groceries home for families that are in need. And we're just staying engaged. But all of that matters when it comes to input and output. Input is the love. Input is the time. Input is the effort. Input is the energy. And the output is what we can produce these young men. And what they'll do into society once they're, fully grown and fully ready to take on that task.
So there's intersections, of all different types of things, race, inclusion, representation. And they're in tech and entrepreneurship and in society. Could you speak a little bit about that as well?
Yep, that's exactly where I was headed to. So we're right on the same page. When you think about that, the double and triple consciousness, you think first, I'm black. Second, this is how they'll perceive me. And third, how do I activate my power in their space, right? That's how we'll frame it. And so the Hidden Genius Project what we do is we don't teach them or talk to them in the narrative of, oh, be the next Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk. I'm like, be Tyrone Jones from the lower bottoms of Oakland. Build the water filtration system that's going to purify the water that's going into McClymonds High School so it doesn't contain lead. Make you $450,000 a year. Pay your community members who work with you or your employees, your staff salary, and you're happy, right? That's how I teach them, right? Because when they're thinking about, oh, I got to make the next Instagram or the next Facebook, they're going to be sitting there thinking forever, right? But when you give them a more localized and more realistic challenge, they can really thrive in that space. And then they begin to get empowered by what they can do for the community. And so when it comes to the tech space, we're definitely not a farm system or the D-League for Google, right? Like, we don't have that, right? We are the manufacturer and producer factory for young men that will go back in the community and build jobs and
create products. Thank you for joining us on iHeartMedia's Bay Area Focus. Be sure to join us again next week for more great events and worthy causes in the Bay Area.
Gentrification as well. Like, we've got all these tech companies out in Silicon Valley, and if we're sending all our young men out there to Silicon Valley, there's no way in the world they're going to want to come back to the communities that gave birth to them. And so we're like, no, don't even trip off of that. We're going to support you. Here's some ideas. However, if they do want to go tech sector, we have connections and partners to get them there. But they'll elect and vote with their feet. There's not like a, you have to do this, right? We want them to do whatever makes them feel comfortable. And the truth, reality is, Larry, it don't matter how many of us get hired at Google or Facebook, it's still not going to be a large enough number for true representation. So I get to Facebook and I'm one of 30 out of 30,000, right? That's like a tenth of a percent, right? Like, dang near. So the math is there. Like, Mark Zuckerberg, and rightfully so, will never fire or kick out his comrades that, you know, are from the same ethnic or background as him. And so that's kind of how we're thinking as far as the tech sector goes. It'll never be enough to represent us until we get the tools and materials to build our own spaces and our own tables.
Wow. That is powerful right there. So the framing of so much of your work and the organization's name itself is around revealing genius that is otherwise hidden. What's the perspective behind that thinking, and how do you go about bringing out the genius in young Black men that you work with?
That's a great one, Larry. So our founders, five Black male entrepreneurs, a few of them come from the East Coast, one primarily comes from Southern California, you know, came up to Oakland to do a for-profit startup called Mind Blown Labs. And they created an app called Thrive and Shine, which is probably the most intuitive Black-made, Black-facing financial capability product on the market at the time. We're talking late 2012 through 2015. And Thrive and Shine did well, but as they were looking to expand Thrive and Shine, they couldn't find any more talented developers that looked like them. You know, our founders, that's five developers. They're Black, right? They're in the office, right? But when they went to look and search for more talent, they couldn't. So right then and there, the Hidden Genius Project was born. And that's where we kind of get our start from. And so out of a passion and labor love, like, we're not about to wait for these schools. We're not about to wait for these boot camps that are exploiting our young men, promising, you know, jobs in Google and six-figure salaries right when they finish the six-week boot camp. Like, no, forget all of that. And so they established the Hidden Genius Project, and, you know, we carry out our mission to the T as it was written back in 2012. And so, you know, fast forward to today, a lot of the work is really just centered on uplifting, holistically uplifting our youth, right? So that they can become confident and they can become empowered and they can become the leaders of our society as we transition and get older, right? I'm in my mid-30s And, you know, these youngsters are like 15, 16, and they think that's extra old. And I'm like, nah, you don't even know what you're getting right now. By the time you get to your mid-30s, you'll be using some of the skill sets that you're learning from me now. So just sit back and listen. So that's just kind of like what it's about. It's a long-term approach. It's not really it doesn't really work in the short term, because even with the 15 months, you know, a lot of our youngsters, I call it the 24-month rule, 18 to 24 months after their first day in our program is when it actually clicks. And that's because they were in our program for 15 months. They had a lot of fun with their brothers. They probably shucked and jive a little bit, but the whole time they were receiving these seeds, and these seeds were being planted the whole time. And then after 15 months, they're like, oh God, I done goofed off the whole time. How can I do that thing you were telling me about? And then we're like, cool, right? And so that's really how it works around at the Hidden Genius Project. It's just that we continue to pour the love and energy in them. We call it Blue Magic, right? And obviously that comes from a movie.
It's a brand name.
Exactly. I stand behind it. I guarantee it. They don't know me better than they know the chairman of General Mills. That's how we look at it, right?
Yeah.
That's the love. It's the Blue Magic. We want to make sure that what we're given is authentic, and we stand behind it and guarantee it so that our young men can have a chance out here in this community, right? Like, and when I say the community, I mean the larger Black community, where talent is just on every corner, right? I don't care what the profession is, it's talent, right? You got the D-boy, right? You got the mechanic. You got the barbecue guy. You got the barber. You got the Sunday dinner lady. You got the house painter. You got the landscaper. We got skills in these streets. And then you got these youngsters who are in their teens are social media gurus, Snapchat, viral videos, TikTok, all of these things that they're driving. They're making these companies more popular than these companies could have ever imagined that they'd be, right? It's Black youth that are driving these things. And so when you talk about talent, I mean, there's a plethora of talent in the community. I just think that certain companies and certain people, you know, politicians included, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies included, you know, tend to look at certain communities as flyover land, right? Well, keep flying over and you'll see what you leave on the table 5 to 10 years from now. Wow, that whole community is thriving and flourishing. How did they do it? All the kids in the hood stayed home and built companies. That's how they did it, right? And all the kids in the hood said, you know what, it's not going to be violence, it's going to be love. We're going to build co-ops, we're going to build businesses, and we're going to work together to buy back these communities and stop the violence, right? So, yeah, keep flying over. That's what I tell them, keep flying over, because it's gold in them streets. Just like the early settlers, well, the folks who came out west and started looking for gold, well, we know where the gold is, and as long as we've got our hands around them and protecting them, we can keep mining that gold, and that's just how we look at it.
So that's the long-term goal that you hope to achieve?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We hope to have hundreds, thousands of geniuses that are operating all across the globe, doing different things to have impacts on community, because we see the collective effort, right? We already have 200 or so alumni right now. I would say, a good 30 to 40 of them are in college right now, taking some form of business or computer science classes. That number will just grow as the years add up, and eventually we'll have a really strong alumni network of geniuses who have come through our program, got the game, and are now giving that game back wherever they are in the world.
So how can people help? How can people who want to be more involved or, you know, donate or something like that, what could they do or where could they go?
They can go to our website at hiddengeniusproject.org. They can also find us on social media, Hidden Genius Pro, HIDDENGENIUSPRO, Hidden Genius Pro, on all social media platforms, or simply, you know, do a quick Google search, right? The Hidden Genius Project, and we'll pop up, and there are various ways to connect with us. We love the money, right? We love donations. They go a long way, but what really goes even further is just love and appreciation and spreading the word, right? And I'm not going to turn down anybody that says, oh, we want to donate. Please do. But just know that you know, financial contributions are great, but all our geniuses need, you know, today and right now in this current moment and pandemic, they just need some love. So if somebody wants to volunteer, let's say their checkbook is not the answer, they want to volunteer, they can also inquire about opportunities there. If they want to partner with us to bring programming to their existing programs, they just may not have a tech or entrepreneurship component, they can also do that. So there's various ways that folks can engage with us and, you know, have an impact in multiple ways. So financially, volunteer, or partnership, there are so many ways that folks can get involved with us in what we're doing.
Well, thank you so much. You have just listened to Larry Dorsey Jr. interviewing Akeem Brown, the programs director of the Hidden Genius Project.
We'll be right back with more on iHeartMedia's Bay Area Focus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.